So we'll read Isaiah 64 and starting in verse number 7. It says this, "And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter, and we and all we are the work of your hand." And we'll stop there. This phrase and the image that it brings, we are the clay and he is the potter. We hear that very often. It's something that's probably been said by each of us over the course of our lifetime. We've probably heard it many times from other sources. But this is something that might get used so often that we forget the real meaning of what this is saying. This is not an easy thing to live out, knowing that God is the potter and we are the clay. We in general like to stay the way we are. We don't like to change. That's the way most people live their lives. That's the way most people prefer things. I guess if they wanted to change, they would be changing. But most people don't want change. They don't like change. And it doesn't come that easy for them. But when we think about a potter and a clay, what that really means is the potter, if you ever look at what the potter begins with, he begins with a lump of clay, and that's what they call it, a lump of clay. Sometimes it's in a square wedge, and sometimes initially when the potter has the clay, it might be too big, and so he makes a big cut in it right away. He just cuts out a whole bunch. Whatever size he doesn't need, sometimes it comes in a big block and they'll take a wire and just go right through it, cut half of it off right away. And then before the potter actually puts it on his wheel, because we're all familiar with that sight, and the little spinning wheel, the potter will begin to work that clay. And when they work it, and there's some great videos that you can watch of this, and you can see that when the potter takes that clay, it's almost like he's kneading dough, just over and over, pressing it, turning it, every side, every angle. He's taking that clay and working it, because in the beginning it's too hard. It doesn't move, it's not soft enough, and it's not usable yet. And so he keeps moving it and shaping it and pressing it and turning it so that every side of that piece of clay gets touched and every side of that piece of clay gets pushed in. He's removing air from it. He's making it so that it won't crack. And this is all before it even gets put on the wheel. And now we go back to this verse and it says, he is the potter. And we are the clay. And if we understand what that means, we will know that things are not going to stay the same. God is going to be working on us to make us something that he wants. And with our tendency to want to stay the same, we might not like everything that gets done. And so, because he wants to be and is the potter and we are supposed to be the clay, sometimes it creates this conflict of emotions that run through us and conflict of interest, because we're all about protecting ourselves. We're all about making sure that everything is okay. And oftentimes, we're all about making sure nothing changes, because we like things the way they are. oftentimes. There are things that we don't like and we want those things to change, but usually we want them to change for the better. And so we go to God and we give him our request. God, can I have a better job? God, can I have a better car? God, it would be nice if we had a little more of this and nice if we had a little less of that. So we go, and our goal very often is we want protection, we want increase, we want something better. And sometimes, God just wants to shape us. God, we want to be protected, and we want things not to change. And God says, no, I'm the potter, I'm going to change you. I am going to put you into situations where you will get shaped. And that's the way God does it. He puts us into various situations, and through that, we get the opportunity to change. We get the opportunity to be worked in the potter's hands. And sometimes we think, well, God, why is this happening to me? God, why is this? Why? What do I need? You know, why would you allow this to come into my life? And he's telling us, you're the clay. I'm shaping you. I'm forming you. I'm molding you. And we haven't even gotten to the wheel yet. We haven't even gotten to the place where you're starting to look like what the final product is. I'm just shaping you before you get on the wheel. He's the potter. We're the clay. Sometimes they say if you're that if you're working with older clay, that it takes even longer to prepare it. There's even more molding and shaping and forming and pushing and pulling and all of those things. If it's a new lump of clay, there might be a little less. But as we get older, the shaping requires even more time and even more of the process. They say that there's more air that gets in the clay as it gets older, and then it takes even longer. Sometimes we think, well, we've been in this Christian walk for a long time. It should get easier. And the potter and the clay analogy tells us that sometimes it might just get a little harder. And I know many of us experience that. We've heard little bits of that. Well, this week was hard. You know, there was a lot of things going on. God's just there, shaping, 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 turning, shaping, getting you ready, preparing. Shouldn't be any surprise. But sometimes we're surprised by that. We have to step back and say, what is God really doing? He tells us that he wants us to be like Christ. He wants us to be like Jesus. And if you're not like Jesus all the way right now, that means there's more shaping to come. Because he's the potter. And that's what the potter wants. The potter wants us to be more like his son. More like Jesus. And so we get to go through the process. We want things often to stay the way they are. We want our health to be good. We want our status to be good. We want enough wealth. We want an easy path. We want it not for us, only for us, but we want it for our family. We want it for our friends. And God says, I want to shape you. We want one thing. God says, my goal is to be the potter. And I want people to be like my son. That's what God wants. And so we go through difficult times. A couple weeks ago, I talked about Joseph. Remember Joseph? He was going to be a leader in Egypt. He was going to be a leader in Egypt. And God told him that and gave him that indication. He didn't say it was of Egypt, but he gave him that indication when he was just a little boy. Not a little boy, maybe he was a kid. Maybe in his teens. And he had to go through all of these different problems. He had to be sold into slavery, and then he was imprisoned and forgotten about. All of that. shaping. But in the middle of that, he might say, why? Why is all this happening to me? Why do I have to go through this? God, why are you doing this to me? And God is saying, I'm just shaping you. I just have you, and you're this lump of clay, and I'm getting you ready for what your purpose is. I'm getting you ready for use in my hands. And right now, you might be in that molding process. You might be in that place where God is making you feel a little uncomfortable, and you might be saying, well, I don't really like this. I don't like the way it feels. I don't like all the pressure that's being applied to me. I don't like all the stress that's being applied. Well, that's exactly what a potter does to the clay. He applies all these pressures and stresses and changes, and it looks different. And it's going through this metamorphosis into something that can be used in his hands. We hear the phrase so often, and we hold on to it, that God is with us. And it is true. But when we hear God is with us, very often we think that means he's going to pull us out of the problem. That means when we hear God is with us, it's like, yeah, he's with us. That means we're free. Sometimes God is with us. God was with Joseph when he was in the prison. It doesn't mean that God left him just because he was in the prison. It doesn't mean that God left Joseph just because he was thrown into a pit. It doesn't mean that God left Joseph when he was going through whatever the tasks are. As he was a servant to a person in Egypt, God was with him. And often we have a mindset which makes us think that if God is with us, and he's going to bring us out of things. And God says in his word that I will be with you through. When you go through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the fire, you won't be burned. Because I will be with you. And we want him so much. And our prayers, very often, they're like, get me out of the fire. Get me out of the flood. Get me out of the high waters. And God says, I will be with you in those waters. I will be with you in the fire. Because he's shaping us. Because he's the potter. Because he's creating something new in us. Because he's doing something, he's creating change in us, essentially. That lump of clay, which starts off very often as this rectangular block, then becomes something very, very different as the potter takes it and changes it and moves it and shapes it and prepares it and gets it ready. And this, very often, and I have said this before, that there the Bible tells us that many are called and few are chosen. Because there are many that have the desire to do something good. There are many that have the desire to be used of God. But often God puts us through a process before he chooses and says, okay, you're ready. This is part of the process where the potter takes the clay and he hasn't even put it on the wheel yet. We're very anxious to get to the wheel part and say, all right, I want to turn into something that's done, a finished product. I want to see what the end result looks like. But the end result doesn't come unless the potter takes that clay and puts and makes sure that it's ready to be used on that wheel. We often want the end. We often say, I want to see what the final shape looks like. Right now, as Fran mentioned, I have another job. We're calling it like a real job, an adult job, finally. I'm going to be working with lasers, and so they don't allow you just to begin to go into a lab with lasers. You have to go through training, and you have to go through exams, and you have to go through medical exams, and you have to go through all of these things before you could even get into the lab. You have to know about all the safety. You have to know about all the dangers. You have to know about all the precautions. You have to understand all the things that go involved, that are involved with this before you're allowed to touch a single thing. And that is not only for your protection, my protection, but for the protection of everybody else that's around me. I have the job, thank God, but I have not gone through all of the training that it takes to allow me to do the things that need to be done there. I have to go through and be certified. I have to go through because there's dangers. There's prices that will be paid if somebody does something wrong in those environments. They say all it takes is a blink of an eye. Exposure in the terms of a blink of an eye could be harmful, permanently harmful. And so they don't want somebody who's not ready. They don't want clay who's unformed. They don't want clay who's not ready to be put on that wheel to have that responsibility. And that's the same with God. God's work deals with souls. God's work deals with people. And God doesn't want people to be hurt. And God doesn't want people to be damaged by us. So He puts us through a series of things that prepare us and mold us. And if we don't go through, we don't get to work. If I don't pass the exams and I don't go through all the training, I will not get to work. And we accept that in the workplace. And we think that's good in the workplace. It's even a smart idea in the workplace. But often, we forget that it's the same thing in God's house. It's the same thing in God's principle. He's looking for people who are Christ-like. He's trying to create Christ in us. So what does that mean? That means that we have to be able to handle rejection sometimes. We have to be able to handle insult sometimes. We have to be able to handle offenses sometimes. Jesus did. Jesus was rejected. He was lied about. People betrayed him. His best friends betrayed him. And very often, it's a sad thing to have to say, but very often as you do God's work, this happens will happen to you as well. People will do bad things, and you still are going to represent Christ. You still are going to represent Christ to the world, even though the world and even people in the church often and outside of the church and neighbors and friends, whatever, whoever, they do bad things, and you have to respond Christ-like. You have to respond Christ-like. Otherwise, God will say, many are called, but maybe you're not ready to be chosen yet. Maybe you're not ready to be put on that wheel just yet. You need a little bit more stress in this area. You need a little bit more shaping in this area. Maybe you don't know how to handle rejection. Maybe you're going to be quick to be angry. And God says, no, that needs to be shaped out of you. That needs to be pushed out of you. We can't put you on the wheel just yet because that needs to be changed. Maybe you're too easily offended. And believe me, working with people, you will be offended. You will have the opportunity to be offended. And you have to respond in a way that represents the potter. And sometimes we are just like these verses. There's a couple of verses in Isaiah 45. I will read you Isaiah 45 verses 9 and 10 as well. It's Isaiah 45, 9 and 10. It says this. It says, woe to him who strives with his maker. Like, let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Okay, that phrase might not make sense to us. He has no hands. This is kind of like, it's almost like a phrase when I used to play sports. Actually, there was a time when I was more fit. I would play sports. And sometimes you would say, you know, like insulting the other another team or another team member, he's got no hands. He's got no hands for basketball. His hands aren't quick, or hockey. He's got good hands, bad hands, all this kind of stuff. He's got no hands. This is kind of like an insult. Somebody's saying that to God. He's got no hands to be a potter. His hands can't work me. And sometimes we say that. And we might use that phrase, but in essence, when we're telling God, God, why? What's going on? Why are you doing this to me? We're in essence saying, God, what are you trying to make here? I don't think that you know, I don't think you got the shape right, God. I'm good the way I am. I don't need to be changed anymore. This doesn't have to happen to me. Why am I going through this? And we strive with our maker. We strive with the one who's putting us through things. Some things are the devil just comes in and he comes in like a flood. There's no doubt about that. The Bible tells us that when the devil comes in like a flood, God raises a standard up against him. That happens. Sometimes we are in the middle of things and we'll pray and it doesn't go away and we have faith and we're believing and we're trusting in God and it doesn't go away. And then we know we just got to stand. We just got to stand. And we got to weather the storm. And we got to hold on to the rock that is underneath our feet. That is our foundation. And that's who God is. Instead, we often have the tendency to strive with our Maker and say, God, we don't really need to go through this. I've gone through enough. And God, I'm not sure what you're trying to make, but I don't like what you're trying to make in me. I would rather be something else. I would rather be pretty much what I am now. We could stop here. I think I look okay the way I'm at. I don't think we need to go any further. And God says, no. I'm the potter. You're just the clay. You don't get to say what you become. Remember, the Bible tells us in another place that we're vessels in the hands of God. We are just vessels, and He makes us into the image that He wants us to be. And we often lose sight of that. We must remember that this is the way we accept these principles for many other things. We'll accept these principles for school. Many people join the military, they accept these principles, saying, I need to be something different. We go through school and we'll subject ourselves to hours and hours and hours of study. Hours of pain, hours of stress, hours of mental torture, sometimes physically draining as well, so that we could come out on the other side and be different. So that we could come out on the other side and maybe get a job, maybe do something that we like for the rest of our lives or for a period of time or whatever it is, but we subject ourselves to it. And in the military, people go into the military and they go through training, and that training is like being part of a piece of clay, and they train you to be something else because you would not want to go to war without all the training, without all the rigor, without all the stresses and the changes that they make you go through and force to be in you. Because if you ever get into that war situation, you don't want to crack, and they don't want you to crack because it will be harmful to you. It will be harmful to others. We go through these things for the world And God essentially says, I have a similar process. He likens it to being a potter and being a clay. We submit to these things very often in life, but often we forget that it's the same way in the church. It's the same thing that God is doing in our lives as well. And we could take ourselves out of the equation and say, you know, I've had enough. I really don't want to learn that lesson. I know God wants me to forgive, but I don't really want to forgive. I should be trying to patch things up in this area, but I really don't want to do that. Don't really want to do it. And God doesn't often, sometimes he does, but many times he just lets you make the choice. Because we do very often, still, sometimes God forces the situation. That's not always. Most of the time he doesn't force the situation. Like you could say in Paul's life, he forced the situation. Paul was on his way going to do something bad, and God just stopped him. A big bright light knocked him to the ground and changed him right there. That doesn't often happen. God allows us to make choices. God allows us to go for years, and maybe you know people who for years have held grudges and for years have held unforgiveness and years have held bitterness. God allows that to happen. He doesn't want that to happen, but he allows it to happen. But many are called and few are chosen. If we don't go through the process, we don't often make it to the wheel and become the final product that God wants us to become. At this point, could the worship team come on back up? We know that this is true. God doesn't always give us our way. God doesn't always give us what we want, and we know that it is a good thing. If you've had kids or watched other people raise kids, you know that giving children what they want all the time is not a good idea. It's not a good idea for them because they will make choices which are not good. They will make choices which are not good for their long-term benefit. Very often it'll be short-term benefit. I want what I want. I want it now. And the parent will say, no, you can't because, and they don't understand, and yet the parent will still make those choices. God does the same thing with us. He's trying to mold us. He's trying to shape us. He's trying to make us something that he wants us to be for his purpose, useful in the potter's hands, useful in the hands of the master potter. And he is still with us through all of the bending and the shaping and the spinning and the making us into something that we're not. He's telling us you should expect change. You should expect growth, even though you've been a Christian, even though you've been saved for a long time. Expect continuous progress, continuous growth, continuous shaping. Because we are in his hands. He is Lord. He gets to do this because when you signed up to be a Christian, the Bible tells us that those who declare he is Lord are those who get saved. He is Lord means he gets to be the potter. He is Lord means that he gets to shape us what way he wants to shape us. He is Lord means that we don't get to say, I don't like what you're doing. He is Lord. And he is with us, regardless of all the things that we go through. Regardless of how much we like or we don't like, he is with us. Regardless of how much we think that he should move us and get us out of the situation and change it, he is still with us. And he is Lord. And we always have the choice whether we're going to submit to the potter or whether we're going to tell him, you got no hands for this. Your hands are not good.
You got no hands for making me. We want to be the exact opposite. Be pliable in his hands. Be soft in his hands. Be movable, changeable, shapeable in his hands so that we could one day become the vessels he wants us and be useful in his hands. And when we are useful in his hands, he will give us more and more and more. When we're faithful in a little, he'll give us more. When we've done some things well, he says, yes, I have more things for you. And the more things that he gives us, the more he will shape us. And the more things that we get from the master, the more he will give. And the more that we do well, the more he will give. This is the never-ending cycle of what God puts us through, and the never-ending cycle of us being on the potter's wheel. We just need to submit to it and trust it and say, you are Lord, and we are not. And whatever you want from me, then that is what I will become. May we have the courage to do that. His name be praised.